On these Sundays from Easter to Ascension Day, it's usual to think about the various appearances of the risen Christ to his disciples. And it's easy to have a story in our minds that goes like this. On that first Easter day, only 36 hours after Jesus' body had been taken down from the cross, some women went to where he'd been quickly and temporarily buried to prepare the body for a proper burial. To their surprise, the body wasn't there, and they were told by one or more young men or angels that Jesus had risen from the dead. Soon after that, Mary Magdalene met him in the garden. So then everybody knew that the resurrection had happened. Well, this well-known story about two people later that day walking from Jerusalem to the village of Emmaus tells us that it wasn't quite as simple as that. So these two people, one of whom was a man called Cleopas, were walking in the late afternoon from Jerusalem to their home in Emmaus. And when a stranger joined them and asked what they were discussing, they told him that they were talking about the events of the last few days, about how Jesus had been arrested and tried and crucified, when they had hoped that he was the promised Messiah who would lead the people to freedom from Roman colonial rule, and how this very morning some women had found that his body was missing from the tomb where it had been placed. However, the messages were confused. People might say anything when they were in shock, so they didn't know what to think. Had there been a coming back to life of one they'd watched dying on a cross? They knew, of course, about the raising of Lazarus, but that had happened publicly in the presence of crowds of people. This was just a missing corpse and stories from people who were in shock. Could they believe what had been said? The stranger who had joined them was clearly a rabbi. He knew the scriptures very well, and he talked through all that the scripture had to say about the Messiah, particularly those passages which said that the Messiah would suffer. Now they were perhaps less confused. And when they reached Emmaus, they offered this stranger hospitality, a meal and a bed for the night. It wasn't safe to walk on in the night. Who knew what robbers or wild animals might be met in the darkness? Besides, it would be good to continue this conversation. He really was good at explaining things, as well as being a very good companion. He accepted the invitation, and as they sat down for the meal, he, as a rabbi, took the lead in asking a blessing on their food. But then, something about the way he blessed and broke the bread convinced them that this was Jesus. Suddenly, he was no longer there, and they had no doubt about what they must do next. They forgot about any fear of travelling in the dark and set off immediately back to Jerusalem, to that upper room, with the news that Jesus had risen from the dead, that they had seen him, they talked with him, they sat down to a meal with him. So, what had been a sad and confusing day for them ended very differently, all because of the stranger they met on the way home. Now, if that was a confusing time for them, this has been a confusing Easter for us. On the one Sunday above all others, when we wanted to gather together as Christians, to grasp hands or hug one another, To say Christ is risen and respond, he is risen indeed, we couldn't. We were self-isolating or social distancing, words we wouldn't have understood as recently as the beginning of the year. What we need is that stranger to join us as we walk our isolated way, who will offer us words of comfort and strength. But that stranger is here. The neighbour with whom I just exchange an occasional greeting, but who now says, "Do let me know if there's anything I can do for you." The friend who phones to check how I am. The note through my letterbox offering help from a newly formed neighbourhood group. Open your eyes and see in all of these the risen Christ here with us at this difficult time, acting through friends, neighbours, even strangers, bringing us the strength and support we need. So part one of the story was the stranger on the road. And now part two is the breaking of bread at Emmaus. When we read of the stranger who we know to be Jesus, blessing and breaking the bread, we're immediately taken back to the Last Supper and link it to Holy Communion. Or we think of the feeding of the 5,000 and the miracles of Jesus. But in fact, this was an ordinary action that happened whenever people sat down to a meal together. They didn't eat potatoes or rice or pasta. Every meal was based on bread. Takes me back to the time when I went on a trek in the Sinai Desert. Whenever we stopped for a meal, the guides who accompanied us started by lighting a fire and baking flatbread. And these people sat down for an ordinary evening meal, beginning with blessing the food and breaking the flatbread loaves, freshly baked loaves, and passing the bread round. And there was something about the way this stranger blessed and broke the bread and passed it round that opened their eyes, as they said, to the fact that the stranger was Jesus. And we may meet Jesus in the ordinary people around us. And we may also meet him in the ordinariness of daily life, as we sit down to a meal, or even as we wash up after it. On this occasion, the washing up had to wait, because as they recognised Jesus, he was gone. And we come to part three of the story. And they didn't say, "Oh well, let's sleep on it and decide what to do in the morning." No. Despite what they had said to the stranger earlier about the dangers of travelling the roads at night, they wrapped their cloaks around them and set off as fast as they could back to Jerusalem. What happened was so exciting, they just had to share it with somebody. And not just with anybody, but with the followers of Jesus that they had left in Jerusalem. They had to share the good news as soon as possible. I'm reminded of an incident my mother told me about when her granddaughter, my niece, called on her way home from primary school, as she often did. And she was so excited about something. "Grandma, Grandma, I, oh, my mouth's so full of words, I can't say them." I'm sure you know the feeling. This time, of course, when they reached that upper room in Jerusalem, they found excitement there too, since the risen Christ had been seen by Peter. So, what does this story have to say to us, here and now? Well, firstly, it tells us that if we are open to him, the risen Christ is with us here and now, particularly in times of difficulty and confusion. Present in the friends, the neighbours, the strangers who are there to help us when we are in need. Secondly, that he's not only here in the special places and at the special times, but in the ordinary and mundane, such as when we sit down for a regular meal. And thirdly, that if we allow it to be so, his presence is so exciting and so uplifting that we shall want, even need, to share it with others. I asked for special thoughts about Easter 2020 to put in the link. One which I have received described how the writer was able to share Easter greetings with friends and neighbours and take time over it instead of being busy with church. One final point. If we can meet the risen Christ in friends and neighbours and strangers, then they can meet him in us, if we are doing his work here in our community. And this brings us back to the reading we heard from the letter of Peter, where he describes those he's writing to as strangers, thinking of Christians as being in a strange land, where many of those among whom we live have different ways of life, different customs, different ethics. We are here among them as strangers, but we have the opportunity to be to those around us as the stranger on the Emmaus Road, who offered words of help and of comfort and of strength. May God help us to recognize our Lord in the stranger on the road we walk. And may he help us to be channels for him to all with whom we travel on life's journey. Amen.